Praise God. He is risen. He is risen indeed. I am so grateful that you're here today and that we have the opportunity to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Although we ought to be reminded that the resurrection is not a one-day event, it is more than a day, because when Jesus rose from the dead, he wanted you to live every single day in the power of a resurrected life. Do you believe that this morning? Well, I was doing some reading and something came to me, and I decided I was going to use Google. Which you never know if what you're going to get is true or not, right? And so I am talking to an intelligent crowd that doesn't believe everything you read on the internet, right? Well, I decided to look up the most significant events in world history that changed the course of mankind. In doing that, it was interesting to me because there were all of these things that were listed, but in none of them did I necessarily read anything about the resurrection. I did read one that said something about the beginning of Christianity. But I think that we would all agree that if there was no resurrection, there would not be Christianity. But because there is the resurrection of Jesus Christ and he is alive, everything changed. But I did find something interesting about life-changing experiences. You know, every generation has different life-changing experiences. Now, there aren't a lot of these left, but the silent generation, those folks that were born between about 1924, 28, and 1945, that generation was greatly shaped by World War II. And then you have the baby boomers. I'm a baby boomer, right at the tail end of the baby boomers. And baby boomers were really shaped in many ways by the assassination of two leading figures in our history, JFK and MLK. And then after the baby boomers, you have Gen X. Well, they're often called the forgotten generation. Gen X are those that were born between about 1965 and 1980, and I couldn't find anything of significance during that number. I'm kidding, of course. And then you have the millennial generation that were impacted by 9/11 and the Great Recession. Now, when I say impacted, we were all impacted, but the world in which that generation grew up was much different because of those two things. And then you have Gen Z, which are those between about 1997 and 2012. And what else could we say other than the fact that that generation, their lives are forever going to be imprinted because of COVID. Good, bad, or indifferent, things changed. Down at our academy, Jerry likes to say it like this: there were some COVID keepers that we learned as we tried to manage that situation. It's a great statement. And then there's Gen Alpha, born from 2013 until now, and they really don't know yet what's impacting their life. But life-changing experiences. A life-changing experience is one that shakes you to your core and forces you to reevaluate something essential about yourself and your beliefs. Now, that life-changing experience could be something negative, but it could also be something positive. I know that when people go through very challenging situations, maybe an automobile accident or the death of a loved one, that can be life-changing. Or sometimes it's a positive thing. Someone has the birth of a child and they see this gift from God, and it just revolutionarily changes the way that they think and the way that they see their life. I want to say to you today that the greatest life experience that I have ever had that has absolutely changed me forever was the day that I met the resurrected Lord and he changed my life. My daughter is with us today and I love her dearly and I'm so proud of her, but I texted my daughter and my two sons this morning a text about the resurrection, and all I could think about was this, that knowing the brokenness around me and where my life could have been, I think about how different an experience my three children have had because I didn't keep going in one direction. But when I met Jesus, and the Bible says I repented and put my faith in him, I did an about face, and the course direction of my life became different, and their lives are now different because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which is what I'd like for you to do, we've been studying this series called More Than a Day, The Power of a Resurrected Life. And when we've been studying this passage, we know that Paul was writing to the Corinthians, and in the first 11 verses, what Paul did was he clarified the gospel. And that is, he made sure that we understand the good news is that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that he was placed in a borrowed tomb, and 3 days later he got up and rose again. The resurrection is real and factual. And then beginning in verse 12 and going all the way through verse 48, he gives an explanation to the Corinthians of the resurrection. He's laying out in chapter 15 the great doctrine of the resurrection. Not just the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, but the resurrection that is to come for everyone. Those who know Christ to life everlasting, and those that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord, to a life of damnation and rejection in a place called hell. And then when we pick up in verse 50 and we go through verse 58, what Paul does is he then provides inspiration to the believers so we can get to verse 58, which is a soliloquy of praise and declaration in verses 57 and 58. So I want to read beginning in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. How about standing for the reading of the Word of God? I'm going to read this passage and then you may be seated. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. Therefore, my beloved brethren, you be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Listen to this thought. Listen to this very important key thought from this passage. When you experience the power of the gospel, everything changes every day of your life. God bless. You may be seated. Now this morning, what I would like to do is I would like to take verse 50 and go through verse 58, and I want to show you what Paul does in this passage. First of all, he gives us three assurances. When you read beginning in verse 50 and you go all the way through verse 57, there are three assurances that Paul gives. Wouldn't you like to know that there are things that you can know for sure? A lot of things you can't know for sure. You don't know what the stock market's going to do next month, do you? You don't know who's going to win in the final four, do you? You have no idea what Alabama's going to do this fall without Nick Saban, do you? While there's a lot of things in life that you don't know, there are a lot of things in life you can know. And those things are what we find in the Word of God, because what God reveals to us is true and it is trustworthy. So first and foremost, we can have the assurance that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is real. It is real. You say, well, why would Paul say something about that? Well, look in verse 12 of chapter 15. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? And so what Paul does is he says, look, the resurrection of Jesus is real. You know, the resurrection is not the rest of the story, it's the best of the story. Those who would seek to destroy the faith of believers and deny the resurrection have to get over two insurmountable problems. Number one, they can't answer the overwhelming evidence in favor of the resurrection. Number two, they cannot explain the memory of Christ or the existence of Christianity without the fact of the resurrection. Do you realize that? Many of you will recognize the name Chuck Colson. Chuck Colson was in the Nixon administration during Watergate, and through that experience, he became a believer, actually wrote a book called Born Again, and God radically changed his life. Listen to what Colson said. I know the resurrection is a fact, and Watergate proved it to me. How? Because 12 men testified they had seen Jesus raised from the dead, then they proclaimed that truth for 40 years, never once denying it. Everyone was beaten, tortured, stoned, and put in prison. They would have never endured it if it weren't true. Watergate embroiled 12 of the most powerful men in the world, and they couldn't keep alive for 3 weeks. You're telling me 12 apostles could keep alive for 40 years? Absolutely impossible. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is real. Do you believe this? But do you know that your resurrection is real as well, your resurrection from the dead? It has been estimated that up to 4 million Christians were interred in the ground in the 600 miles of catacombs that are woven under the city of Rome. During 300 years of Christian suppression, Christians had to be buried underground, and etched in the ground along many of those tombs are the words, "You live in God." Which recognized that though they were dead physically, they were alive in the presence of the Lord. It's estimated that during the Dark Ages, as many as 50 million believers gave their lives for his cause. Some believe that it would be conservative to estimate that 1 million Chinese Christians died in the communist seizure of China. Hundreds and thousands have died in the revolutions of Africa rather than deny the faith of Jesus Christ. Century after century and individual after individual, people have lived and died in the confident hope that there was life after death based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And throughout all of the halls of history, there is an echo, there is a whisper, there is more to come because Jesus is alive. And that's why in verse 50, Paul said this, I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen to me. The resurrection is real. Second assurance that you can have is that the resurrection is the foundation for our hope. Notice what he says in verse 51 and 52 and 53. I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. Do you realize that we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, but that resurrection is a reality that is the foundation for our hope? And because Christ is alive, one day you and I are going to spend somewhere in eternity. Isn't that good news? The resurrection is the foundation for our hope. You can have that assurance. The third assurance that we have is found in verses 54 through 57, and that is the resurrection is the guarantee of our victory. Notice what Paul does in this passage. He says, when this perishable, in verse 54, will have put on the imperishable, and mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You and I are guaranteed that death does not have the final word, that one day, because of the power of the resurrected Christ, you too, if you'll repent and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that you will be with him in glory. Isn't this good news? Eugene Peterson wrote a memoir called The Pastor. He tells of an encounter that he had at a Benedictine monastery. They visited this monastery in New Mexico. He writes, one of the brothers was leading us on a path from prayers in the chapel to the refectory where we would have lunch. The path led through the cemetery, and he said we passed an open grave, and his wife asked the question, did one of the brothers die? To which the monk that was leading them along responded, no, that's for the next one. Peterson would then write, three times every day, on their way from praying together to eating together, the monks are reminded that one of them will be the next one. Death is hard. But the facts are, unless Jesus comes, every single one of us is going to die. But today, there is no event in human history that has touched the world and human history more than the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what you read in the news, no matter what you hear on the radio, no matter what you watch on television, I am here to declare to you that you can have the assurance that the resurrection is real, and the resurrection is the foundation for hope in your life, and the resurrection guarantees you the victory over death, hell, and the grave, and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. This is good news. Yeah, give God praise. But it's interesting because when Paul goes through, and we could have a great conversation about the rapture that I believe is found in this passage and in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and one day Jesus is going to come and we're going to be snatched up or caught up with him. Aren't you looking forward to that day? But in verse 58, something shifts. And Paul moves from the three assurances to now he moves to the four applications of the resurrection for your life. Someone once said that this verse is Paul's hymn of praise to the Lord as well as his closing admonition to the church. The first thing he says in verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. The word steadfast literally refers to being seated and therefore to being settled and firmly situated. It refers to their firm establishment in the faith. What Paul is saying is be sure. Live with the assurance that you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. For by grace you are saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The ultimate question for every single one of us is this question. Have you had a life-changing experience with Jesus? Romans 10, 9 and 10, the scripture says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe, underline that word, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For in verse 13, he says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. On this Resurrection Sunday, where we are remembering that the resurrection is a reality and it is an assurance for our hope and for our victory over death, hell, and the grave, I want to ask you, are you sure that you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted in his saving work for your salvation? Be sure. The second word he uses is not only the word steadfast, he says immovable. This word carries the same basic idea, but it means something a little bit different with intensity. It denotes being totally immobile or motionless, that establishment related to the assault that will come. In other words, not only do you need to be sure that you are Christ's, but you need to be ready. Because the Bible says that the enemy is going to assault your mind, he's going to assault your heart, he's going to assault your body, he's going to assault everything about your belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says to the Corinthians, you need to be immovable, you need to be firm, because you are rooted in the reality of the resurrected Christ. And you are not going to let any of the lies of the evil one to keep you from believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I say to those of you that are here today, I want to say, be sure that you belong to Jesus Christ. The second thing I want to say is, be ready, because the enemy is going to do everything he can to discourage and defeat your belief in the resurrected Christ. You believe that? It's the third thing he says, and that is be faithful. Notice he says in verse 58, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. The word here for abounding is an interesting word. It says exceeding requirements. It's a word that indicates overflowing or overdoing. In Ephesians 1, verses 7 and 8, the word is used of God lavishing on us the riches of his grace. You know, years ago, Bill Gaither wrote the song, Because He Lives. The refrain goes like this. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future and life is worth the living. Be faithful to the Lord. There's a fourth application of what Paul has been saying. Be sure, be ready, be faithful. But the last one is be confident. Notice what he says. He says, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Several times in this chapter, Paul uses the phrase in vain. It means empty, without content. Now, because the tomb is empty, our faith is not empty. Do you believe that? But if the tomb is not empty, then everything else is vain. Our preaching is empty. Our faith is empty. Verse 14, our works are empty. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ is God's answer to Solomon's lament in Ecclesiastes verse 2 in chapter 1. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And Paul says, listen, I want you to live with the confidence that if you will abound in the work of the Lord, if you will be faithful, if you will be ready to face all of the spiritual battles that you're going to face, and if you will be sure that you are a child of the living God, I am telling you, like the old song says, it will be worth it all. Tim Keller made a statement about the resurrection that I think is incredibly powerful. If Jesus rose from the dead, then you have to accept all that he said. If he didn't rise from the dead, then why worry about any of what he said? The issue on which everything hinges is whether or not, not whether or not you like his teaching, but whether or not he rose from the dead. Many people have all these arguments against Christianity because they don't like the moral standards or the expectations or the call to holiness. But the fact of the matter is, that's not where you start. You start with this one most important question. Do I believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? And if he did, which he did, then you simply submit yourself to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And here's what you're going to find. His commandments are not burdensome because you love him. Martin Luther made this statement, our Lord has written the promise of resurrection, not in books alone, but in every leaf of springtime. Look at the trees, they declare the resurrection. Look at all of the bushes and the flowers that lay dormant during the winter months, representing the death. And now they come back to life. The resurrection is more than a day. Paul says, I want you to live in the power of a resurrected life. And all God's people said, amen. Would you stand this morning? We're going to sing a song, and this song is what we call a song of invitation. And during this invitation, if the Spirit of God has been speaking to your life, and you say, Daryl, I am not sure. I don't know if I have trusted in Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord, but I'd like to know. We have pastors that'll be here in the front. We have a pastor in the balcony. If you just want to pray with someone and talk with them, we're going to invite you to come. No embarrassment. We'll not put you on the spot, but we want you to come and speak with us. Maybe as a believer in the Lord Jesus, you just need to come to the altar and say, Lord Jesus, I want to refreshingly submit myself every day and live the reality of the resurrection. Let's sing this song and let God speak. Mark, would you lead us, please?